Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
And welcome to the Say What Show. My name is Nancy Hopkins. I've got with me I've got Dolly Howard and Christia coming slack. And it is November 23rd, 2019. Hi, guys.
Are you okay?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's
Can
been...
you share what's going on?
Well, I'm under pressure to get the book done.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I admittedly have not been looking and checking and being diligent about, like, the websites.
Oh.
And Derek has been making the changeover to the Shungite store. So today, I mean, the book is all done. I've got all the, Jan's done the editing. The editing has all been fixed in the master copy. All I got to do is talk about the products and to give links to more information and the index. Okay, so not a problem. I should have been able to get most of it done today. So I go over to the store, and because he's in the process of doing this, I don't know where the hell anything is, and I can't find anything. And the more I look, the more furious I get because things are gone that shouldn't be gone, and oh, my God. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going like, do not make that phone call. Do not make, fuck, you know. And
oh,
I
no.
was screaming at the poor guy.
Aww.
And, you know, Derek is, well, he's grown a lot since he's known me. And he just sort of like, you might want to calm down. I am not going to calm down. Oh, please calm down. And I just kept beating the crap out of the poor guy. I don't. You know, but anyway, so, and then I'm trying to talk him through the stuff, and I finally said, you know what? I'll do it myself. And so I dropped everything I was doing, frustrating the crap out of me, and I take care of what has to be done, and by then I am so friggin' tired that I just gotta lay down. Yeah, and thank God I set the alarm, because the next thing, I mean, I swear I just shut my eyes for 30 seconds, and the next thing I know, the alarm's going off. So when I did jump up here and get on here, I was still kind of half asleep.
Yeah,
I think I'm pretty awake now. anyway, that's the way the day has been. Hi, Christia, we missed you last month.
Oh, I know. But I'm glad to be here today. Yay!
Yeah. How are you doing? Talk to us.
What's
been happening?
What's been happening? Well, I don't know if you knew, but we were in the process of trying to find a house, buy a house.
Yeah, and, you had mentioned that. So
yeah, yeah.
Well, that's still a process. I'll move on from that. If you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say anything. So just moving on. that's still a process. That's all I'm going to say. Mercury retrograde survived. So glad it's direct. I've been working on new angel frequency paintings. And I love to make crochet ornaments for Christmas. So I've been working on some new designs that I like to learn a pattern and then do it. So I'm working on a snowflake pattern, a candy cane pattern, and what else am I working on? So that's what I got going on. And just doing, do you know, I'm diversing. Do you know how many alien factions there really are? Like how many different types of aliens?
I don't think anybody knows.
Well, somebody said 27, and I was like, well, I don't know if that's true or not. But I was trying to compile a list because I was feeling like it would be good if there was like a list compiled somewhere and then some information about them, because I kind of feel like as humans, we need to know more about, you know, them, because I feel like they're, you know, here already. Sorry to say they're coming, but they're already here, but, you know, becoming more in our consciousness. So that's kind of what I'm fascinated with at the moment, is trying to figure out how many alien factions there are and who exactly is there. And
you're not going to live long enough. You're not going to live long enough.
I agree with Nancy.
I mean, not only do you have to figure out who they are, you have to figure out which dimensions or how many dimensions are you going to look into.
Right. Oh, interesting. Oh, okay. So, well, then maybe not just in this human conscious form then. I won't know until I'm back in spirit. Because, you know, when you're in spirit, you know everything. You know, right. You're not limited.
So yeah, okay. Let's grab a hold of that. Your spirit, you know everything? You think so?
Yeah, because you're in spirit. You're in soul.
You don't think that there's things that soul doesn't know, that spirit doesn't know?
No. No. Mm. I think
you guys are going to be in for a surprise.
We'll be there for you when you get the surprise.
I honestly think that God, your guardian angel, and your soul, because they're the three common denominators in all your human incarnations, they know your whole story. It's your human consciousness that's waking up to your own divinity. It's not your soul doesn't have to wake up. It's your human self that has to wake up. So I always felt like when I was in spirit and just soul, that I would know the things that I wanted to know that, you know, I'm discovering.
Well, you can know as a human being anything you want to know. That's just asking for the information.
Right.
I mean, it's like there's a library out there that has all the information, but I can guarantee you individual spirits or individual souls, they're not walking around with this thing in their head. If they were, they'd be God.
They have access to it easier.
Have access to it, but you actually don't. See, this is what's so funny about the whole thing, all right, is that you have access to anything any kind of information you want, but you don't carry it around inside of you. So I think that one of the goals of life is to ask the questions, but you gotta evolve enough to even ask the question.
Right. You gotta want it. Yeah.
You gotta understand enough to even formulate the question. I mean, how many people do you know would be having this conversation? You know what I'm saying? You know, you got to be really, really educated, knowledgeable, or just plain crazy.
Or a little bit of both.
Or all of it.
All of it. I feel like I'm all of it.
But you know, I get this sense from people, they think, oh, when I get to spirit, everything's going to be all right. It's not that easy. You know, I mean, you can do it right here. You don't have to go anywhere. You can become who you are. You just got to decide, do you want to do that? And how do you get there? You ask the right questions. Well, how do you ask the right questions? You spend thousands of years living different lives to find out what the questions are. It's kind of a ludicrous game. But we do seem to be in it. But I happen to agree with you, Christia. But I think I have seen lists of different ETs.
Yeah, I've been Googling it. And people, there's a difference of, you know, I love Google now. I mean, imagine 20 years ago we didn't have Google. But what I'm doing is taking the common, you know, I'm taking the list, and then there's common of course, common denominators. And then there's like the top five, which we know, you know, the Pleiadians, the Syrians, the Arcturians, the Andromedans.
But there's different Pleiadians.
But larger groups is what I'm just trying to get a handle on the larger, because actually within, well, just like humans, you know, there's different, you know, different beings doing different things in the different groups. So anyway,
let me put it to you this way. What would you think if I told you you were a Palladian?
Oh, I would say I would say one multidimensional being of myself is Palladian, but I also think I'm other things.
No, because you're human, you're Palladian. See,
automatically?
Because what is the Pleiades? The Pleiades is a star system, right? I don't know if you call it a constellation. No, you would call it a, what do they call it? It's you know, they're neighboring stars.
Right, the okay? Seven star sisters, yeah.
Well, no, there's actually eight, and the eighth one is Earth.
Oh.
See, we are on Earth, and we are looking at our sisters, the seven. That's why we have this continual need, I mean, for people that have really, you know, are open to the energies, this need to feel the Palladians. When we say the word Palladian, we don't have any real apprehension about it. It feels more like a family thing, you know, something that we know, okay?
But you don't think that there's other... Because I've given readings to people, you know, soul readings for people before, and... They've had other...
Other lifetimes is it different ETs, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the physical solar sun. Okay? Because when it's called near neighbor, there's some technical word for this, but it's a group of stars that actually, because they're similar in their makeup, and because of their similar location, they actually have a sympathetic resonance with them. So it's the planet. It's the planet, not necessarily us individually.
Mm.
And if you were to be on one of the Pleiades seven sister stars that you see, mm-hmm. you would see Earth as part of another, you know, a relationship. There would be still seven because you're on the eighth. Remember, we're talking about, you know, extreme distances.
Right.
But it's your perspective, and that's why I really, really like people to get to the concept of that every single human being is very unique because of your perspective. How you're seeing what's happening in front of you. We could all be seeing the same thing, but we'd never have the same perspective. And so from the concept of, you know, intergalactic, planetary, you know, their energies, you've got to look at the energies.
I love those words together, by the way. Intergalactic, planetary, I just love it.
But anyway, I got a download about that years and years ago.
Oh, I love that.
And over the years, I've asked people that, you know, are pretty connected, you know, let me ask you this question. Is mm-hmm. Earth part of the Pleiades system? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they stop, they hesitate, they've never heard, you know, thought about it, and they all come back with, oh, wow, yes.
Mm.
So I think it's pretty accurate.
Mm.
But that's what I'm saying. When you try to identify, I mean, it's like there's so many players.
Mm-hmm.
But you've made some awesome, very accurate connections to the archangels, you know, or the angels. You might want to just open yourself up and say, you know, who are you? You know, and just do it from, not from study, but from your connectedness to them.
Mm, as you did that, I got a shudder up my spine.
remember, ask the right questions. So you look at each of the planets, the Pleiades planets, this, you know, the star system, okay?
All right.
And you look at it, and you just focus in on it and say, is there anybody out there that will talk to me? You know, and pretty soon.
Oh my
you'll...
gosh, there's a whole room now.
Okay. And just ask them to please give their version of who they are.
Oh, okay.
You're going to be at this for a very long time. But, I mean, it's well worth it. I mean, I'd be excited about it for you.
Well, I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel guided to, you know.
Yeah, and, but don't make it trying to study other people. You don't need to do that. You just need to, as we started the conversation, to access information that's always there for you. You just have to learn how to ask the right question. And also make sure you got somebody that knows what the hell they're talking about. You know? Oh, yeah, I live there. Yeah, let me see. What is that? No. You know? Be very specific in your questioning. That's where people run into problems. You know, they're way too general. They, you know, somebody tell me something. You know, you don't know who you're talking to.
Right. Be specific.
Be specific when you're trying to get that kind of information.
Okay, great. Awesome.
What do you got to say about that, Dolly?
We all have our different opinions.
No, what's yours?
Actually, I don't even want to tell you because you're going to think, oh, there she goes again. I don't really care. I'll find out what I need to know when I get to the next place. I want to just live each day for what it's worth here.
This is somebody that's talking about being an old fart and about to cross over, so I'm not going to get all upset about it.
You shouldn't get upset about it. I mean, I learn every day, but I'll probably, when I cross over, I'll be able to learn whatever I want to learn.
You can learn it now. That's my point.
But it's just,
you don't want,
right,
you don't
now
want,
I want to
I understand that. I understand that. That's why I say you're an old fart. You don't care anymore.
I don't.
There does come a point where you really don't give a shit.
Yeah, I've reached it.
You know? I mean, not of these, you know, there's categories of it. I mean, you still are extremely engaged in your family. In your friends, in the radio. You know, these things are the important thing. You know,
right.
And of course, you know, the swamp people. We can't forget the swamp people. But, you know, everybody just has to focus on that they have access to the information. You just have to be able to formulate the questions. And, you know, there is so much, I mean, well, Christina's going to find out that the more you look, the more there are.
Yes. Amen to that.
Well, I drew an angel card for today.
Oh, good.
And what I think is funny, it's Archangel Mir, M-I-H-R, and it's interspecies relationships, which I found hysterical because of my thing. But I'm going to read the card because, Dolly, I want to thank you.
Oh.
Last time we talked, you were saying how important it was to read the card that goes, you know, the words in my book. And even though that I wrote this and channeled it, I reread it earlier when I pulled this card, and I was like, wow, that is really good.
It is.
But I thought, wow, I really need to be getting these back out into the world. So I'm going to figure out how to get a different publisher. And, get them get more printed again and go that way.
Oh, can I ask you a special thing for it?
Yes.
When you do the book, the explanation, the reading of the card, can you make that print a little bigger so people can read it?
Yes. Well, I didn't have any control over that. And typically, unfortunately, the little books that come with the deck usually are the size of the deck. So it is little print, but I'll see what I can do when I find a new publisher. I would say people need a bigger print, but I totally agree with you.
May I make a recommendation here?
Yes.
I think that you should concentrate on taking what you've got on the cards and making a book out of it, and that you can get the cards to go along with the book.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. So it would be bigger because it would be a book.
You're yeah. publishing a book because it's just like Dolly says. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things out there where you've got the cards and the book. I find it works just as fine to me to open up the book to a page.
Oh, I like that idea. Ooh, I've got to write that down so I don't forget. Just make it a book. Okay.
So glad you brought it up.
Well, that's easy. I can self-publish that tomorrow. Okay, easily done. Because I already got it's already in a PDF format. All I've got to do is...
Okay, now if you're gonna, because that's what I'm doing. I'm self-publishing the Shungite Reality. I've self-published all my books, but when I was originally doing it, I was going through CreateSpace, and CreateSpace is associated with Amazon. Well, now Amazon has completely taken over CreateSpace, and it's called KDP or something. But what happens is that when you go on to their website, they step you through. You know, what's the name of your book? Who wrote it? Give us a description. What size do you want it? And then they let you plug in graphics for the cover of it. And then they say, load up your PDF, and boom. The next thing you know, you got a hard copy of your book coming to you in the mail. It's going to cost you money. I don't know what it is. And you know, it's like every other one of those sites. You don't know how much it's going to cost you until you get to the end.
Right, and usually my books are more because they're colored. There's colored images.
Yeah, that's going to be more expensive.
On
yeah.
Lulu, like I've self-published on Lulu before, and I was looking at Kindle. There's a Kindle Create, I think it is, where you can, because I was thinking about, you know, making it available, or a different book I was writing, you know, of my channelings. It's I've already put it together. It's already something that's in a PDF form. I was just trying to figure out how to load it, but because I have images and words, when I upload it, it ends up getting all crammed.
Yeah, I know. See, the thing of it is that when you go, first off, I've looked at the other options that they have out there, Lulu and others.
Yeah.
The beauty of Amazon, and believe me, I don't like Amazon. I have yet to make any kind of real money there. I mean, I've had, the two other books are, you know, like 6 years, one's six and one's even older than that. And,
right.
and all together, I don't think I've seen $350 from Amazon.
Wow.
Okay. So if you're going to go into book writing for money, well, don't listen to me. But if you want to have a format to get it out there, you know,
yeah.
it's all there. And in the PD, okay, so you go to, you decide what size you want, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to a template.
Okay.
And the template is all set up for publishing that size book. So then all you do is take your text and cut and paste it, well, you know, copy it and paste it into their format, and boom, 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 done deal.
Oh. Okay. I will see what I can do, because I've got a couple different books, a Reiki workbook, Angelic Heart Reiki workbook, this book, my book and my channelings. It's a combo of my channelings and art that I, when I first started channeling the angels. And what else? I got several things. But I just, again, when I go to upload it, it gets all jumble mumbled.
You need that template, and that's
okay.
All you have to do is decide on the size, and then it's a zip file. Okay, because you got that you're going to do it in black and white, or you're doing it in color.
Right,
okay,
right.
So they give you, you know, different templates. I don't remember exactly their options of templates, but you just got to get the one you want, and then it's a zip code, and it's based on the size of the book. You decide which size it is and call it up into your whatever Word processing program you have, and it does it automatically. Now, I've been having trouble in that I can't change the font of the numbering in this. But, okay, so I'll live with it, you know. But, like, things like putting the title of the book on every page at the top of it, which, you know, is the thing you do now, that's all right. done automatically. So, I mean, when I went into it, the first time I did this, it was complicated, and it was it made me nervous as could be because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And right. I did pay for their professional advice, you know. But by the time I got to the second one, I knew. And when I got to this new kind of thing, I knew what to look for.
Okay.
And to what you want to look for is that template thing.
Okay.
So you just go to Amazon, Published Book, or what. You know, if you go to createspace.com, createspace.com, I think it will forward you to the KDP now, the Amazon.
Okay.
But I hope you do this because people need your kind of information. And, you know, at least it's out there. You're not making money on it, but at least it's out there. Now,
I just want to get it out there because the people, like, you know, and Dolly, thank you so much for reminding me. It's, you know, these are channel messages, and it when people read them or see them, it helps them. It helps awaken. Like you were, like Nancy, you were saying, you know, you got to ask the right questions. And if you're, you know, us having this conversation, most people might not have this conversation. Because they're not talking about angels or aliens or higher consciousness or, you know, humanity. So, yeah, it's good.
Because I get nobody to talk to about it.
Okay, so I'm going to read. So this is Interspecies Relationship, Archangel Myrrh. Archangel Myrrh is here to speak to you this day about interspecies relationships and what we truly are in relationship to all living things. What we do does affect the whole. It may be difficult to understand this. So Myrrh has asked to show you a beautiful garden where everything is alive with consciousness. As you walk through this garden, you can feel and sense the plants and the trees. You can also feel them sense you as well, like a flow of energy between you and the plant you give your attention to. And you see as you think beautiful thoughts about that particular plant, if it seems to glow even more. Oh, it seems to glow even more. Your heart jumps for joy at this discovery. Myrrh continues to bring you into the garden more, so you may see more plants and trees. Myrrh can bring you here at any time. Give thanks to Myrrh for this new awareness. There you go.
I love the cart.
And the picture, that image is of a, like a butterfly-y type of, I think when I painted it, I was thinking of the spirit of the plant. But it kind of looks like a butterfly, and there's energy dots coming out of her little hands. I guess you could, no, it's not really hands, but into the flower. So there's that energy transference. She's kind of like a butterfly diva kind of thing. I think when I painted her, I was thinking of, I know this series was part about, I was exploring the plant essence, like how humans have a soul and a plant has a diva, and how that diva is like the soul of the planet, like animates it. And I was thinking of, that's what I was thinking of. Nature's angels when I painted this.
You know, I was listening to a woman, Claire Edwards, who was talking about 5G, and she was at a conference in Oslo, and she was the next speaker, and she gets up and she said, well, I hope you guys understood what came before us better than I did, because it's just, you know, 5G is a tough subject. But she said, I want to go off on a little bit. I'm supposed to talk about the satellites, but I want to talk about something else right now. And she gets up there and she says, apparently one of the people that had been on before her had a statement in the presentation that I would really like to see some proof of. So anybody out there that finds it, please forward it on. But he said that the only insect that we love is the butterfly. And the only insect that's not being affected by Wi-Fi is the butterfly. And that's the power of love. Isn't that amazing?
OMG. OMG.
Ditto.
OMG. I have goosebumps.
Wow.
OMG is all I'm going to say, because I think you're onto something. I think you're onto something big time. Big time.
So if the 5G doesn't affect the butterfly, that's what you said, right?
Well, I'm not sure it was 5G, but she said Wi-Fi, because 5G doesn't necessarily, I mean, 4G is damaging enough. 5G just can't happen, period. It's too insane. It's too intense. Too insane. But the 4G is killing everything anyway.
Except the butterflies?
Except the butterflies. And that's why go ahead.
Why don't we have this mission that we say we got to send out, we got to have more love to conquer the 5G?
Well, we got to have more love in general. I think it's a mass consciousness. If a mass consciousness loves the butterfly, because what I think she's saying is, okay, so in general, the humanity loves the butterfly. So, as a species, as a human species, opening up to loving more of all of life, like loving life, like just loving it, just. And that goes with humans and people you don't love. You know, maybe you disagree with somebody, but you can still unconditionally love them. You might not like them.
Well, you know, just think of the image, okay? It's like a butterfly. Oh, look at the butterfly. Oh, my God, the butterfly is so wonderful. Oh, my God, those damn mosquitoes. Oh, jeez, oh, look, I'm ants. I'm going to step on. I mean, from the insect's point of view, we must be just awful. I don't know how much love they're sending us, because every time we see them, we're trying to kill them.
Oh my God.
Except the butterfly. Even bees, they'll run from bees.
Oh wow.
I go out to the bushes and I just stand there with the bees just flitting around me. I mean, they are gorgeous. They're amazing, you know, but how many people look at bugs?
Oh, I do, because I talk to them. And
well, you're a little weird, so that's okay.
I'm always looking at birds and I mean, we live in on the south side of Savannah, and it's very, like, I'm 2 minutes from anything, you know. But we live kind of off a big road, and we live up against Hunter Army Airfield, so that's a huge, you know, lots of trees and nature, and I've got armadillos and possums and raccoons in my yard. But I've got, in the morning, I can hear 7 different types of birds. And, you know, I've got lots of different insects. And I'm always talking, you know, going outside and talking to them. So I just, you know, I love nature. So it's important to talk to it.
Before we get too far away from the cards, Christy,
yeah,
I had something I wanted to share with you about.
Sure.
I'm reading this book now, and one week I drew the card Ask, And you know, I splay the cards out and move my fingers over each card. And when I hit the one that gives me my hair stand up and I get goosebumps and the heebie-jeebies, I know that's a card the angels want me to pick. So then I just put the card pack back in that wonderful little satin pouch you made and put it away. Well, the next week, I went through the cards, and I have to divide them in half because I can't hold them all at the same time. So I divide them in half. I splay them out. I do the thing I said, and the first half didn't have the card. So I went in the second half, and I go through. I pulled the card out, and I looked at it. It was the card ask. And I said, now, wait a minute, y'all. You had me draw this card last week. And I get the message, there's some more people who need to hear that again. So we're having you draw that card again. That solidified in my mind that what I'm doing with these cards is for real. It's legit. The angels are definitely guiding me each time I pull a card.
Now, didn't you question yourself and you did it again and got the same thing the third, so three times in a row you pulled the same card?
Yeah.
I've done that before, doing a reading for a client. I actually pull cards and then I channel a fresh, you know, message for them, and I might get the same cards, you know, repeatedly. And I'll shuffle them all up and divide them up and get the same card. And what's amazing to me is, like, you rereading that for people, and ask is a big one, because I love that. I looked it up while you were talking. Archangel Zadikiel.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read it, because I feel like we need to read it for people.
Okay.
So Archangel Zadikiel helps us with asking. We think we cannot ask for what we need, or maybe we think we are not worthy enough to ask the angels for assistance. But the only rule the angels have is that we must ask. So ask out loud. Ask from your heart. Ask Zadikiel to help you. Nothing is too big or too small. Ask for help with everything. Remember, they can't help you unless you ask. And there are literally millions of unemployed angels just waiting to help. So ask. Give thanks to Zadikiel for assistance in this matter. I love this painting, too.
Thank you, Zadikiel, and all the other angels.
Yes.
I always say that afterwards, too.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you. But yeah, because Earth is a free will zone, and really the only rule the angels have is that you got to ask, because then it's like we give permission for them to, like, you know, come on in and help us.
Yeah.
We got to give that conscious permission.
I call it the universe of divine intervention, USI. It's the USI. USI.
I love it. Universe of divine intervention.
Well, you know, because it, I mean, it, when you get older, like Dolly, you look back over your life.
I'll take it.
I mean, I'm proud of being as old as I am, and I'm only a year younger.
I am too.
I'm a year younger than she is. And, you know, but you look back, you have the perspective now of looking back over your own life and seeing the tapestry. Seeing right. How all these little weird things that you didn't really understand why or what, and, you know, all are coming together to make us who we are today.
Yep.
And it's amazing. Wow. I mean, it's so amazing to see that we've never been alone. We've always been on the mission. We just didn't know what the mission was, per se. But the universe of divine intervention, you know, is just works to be able to take care of all sorts of little things that you wouldn't have known you needed to know. You know what I'm saying? It's just Amazing.
It is amazing.
Synchronicities. And, you know, so when you're going through something really weird or bad, or there's a lot of drama associated with it, kind of divorce yourself from the drama and just, you know, take note of what's happening. Because someday when you're an old fart like Dolly, you're going to be able to look back and say, oh, that's what that was about.
You and know? Even when you're being told that you're all wrong, you're all washed up, yada, yada, no, there's something there that someone is going to get from that happening. So don't be so hard on yourself. You're there to do that, whether it appears to be bad or wrong or a stupid thing to do. No, as long as you learn by it and move forward, you know that was really a necessity to happen. And I'm just figuring that out, and I'm, what, 72 years old? Listen to me so you don't have to go through so many years and figure it out.
You know, I had a situation on the radio, actually, where it was a Say What show. And one of the people that was in the very, very early stages of it, she wasn't fitting in. Okay? And I really wanted to dump her because she just, she wasn't, she only wanted to talk about her and about things that interested her that weren't, you know, if you went off into, you know, the T word or anything else, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Right? And so I was trying to figure out how to get away from this, and I'm getting this messaging, no, don't do the show, do the show, do the show. Well, we get into the show, and halfway through it, I am screaming at her.
Oh,
right?
Dear.
And I'm going like, I mean, I was preposterously awful. And so after, and she left the show. In the middle of the show. Never talked to her again. So afterwards, I'm like, what in the hell? Why did you? And they said she needed it.
Oh.
That she needed to be booted off of what her comfort level was because she kept, it was all this looping. She was a host. It was all this looping. It was always the same thing, same, same, same. And she was caught in a loop, and she needed to get away from the radio, from being that person, and go on to become whoever she needed to be. You know, so even sometimes when you're acting like a real jerk, it's not, you're not acting for like that for no reason at all. You know, don't beat yourself up because you think you were, you know, a jerk, because you might have been doing it because that person needed it.
Yeah, because it was agreed to before.
Well, sometimes I don't know if it's agreed to before, but it's what they need at the time.
True.
I mean, I've had people go off on me that seemed really irrational until I got a little ways away from it, and I said, oh, I see. You know, so the best thing in life is just to observe, you know, the drama. You know, I mean, when I say observe, it's the drama you're observing. Don't get involved in it. I mean, get extremely involved in talking to a bug. Get extremely involved in hugging your husband or your wife or your children or your friends. Get extremely focused on those things and engage in it. But all the drama that's just going around you because it's a drama, you know, just stand back and don't get engaged. Watch it. Does that make sense?
Or leave it even.
Or leave
sometimes
it. Yeah, sometimes you leave.
You need to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause,
I agree.
Because when you take yourself out of that situation, it does involve whoever you're taking yourself away from, and it makes them think different thoughts than what they were on the rampage about.
It's a complicated dance.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I was writing the book, and I got into... The book is Shungite Reality. And I was talking about the fact that the C60, which is so critical to why the Shungite works the way it does, but it's not, there's not a lot of it in the Shungite. You know, it's like in a nugget, in a typical nugget, I'll see 3 to 6 C60 molecules in it, because I can see it. It's just remote viewing at the molecular level is all it is, but I can see it. So even before they all started, you know, somebody finally did a test to see how much C60 is in the shungite. Well, there's not very much, you know, sometimes you don't find any and blah, blah, blah. You know, well, I'd known about that, but I also knew you only needed one. And then I realized you didn't even need none, because there is a quantum connection to the mother lode in Russia. So every single piece of shungite is connected to the mother lode. And that's what I was looking at, you know, and I'm start to write about it, and all of a sudden I'm realizing, okay, what it is the quantum connection. So as I'm trying to, you know, put this together, the quantum connection, how does it work? Why is all the shungite interlinked? And the C60 is critical, but isn't in everything, you know, all of that. Well, somebody posts something about the quantum physicist have finally gotten a photograph of quantum entanglement. You know, again, synchronicity, confirmation, you know, yes, you're on the right track, go, go, go. And so as I went through it, I realized, wow, when you're talking in terms, because quantum entanglement is something that they've observed in quantum physics, where, you know, two particles that are separated by huge distances are acting like they're the same one. And how does this happen? And they finally got on the concept of quantum entanglement, where certain things are linked in ways that they don't really understand, but they can see it all the time. Well, as I'm writing about it, I'm also writing about sympathetic resonance. And that's the concept that as you go through life, there are things that if they are very similar in frequency, they actually respond by what's called sympathetic resonance. So in a piano, if you open up the piano and you see all those strings, if you hit the middle C, you won't hear it, but you will see all the other C strings start to vibrate. If you take tuning forks and you've got, you know, about, let's say they're 5 feet apart, right? And you hit the, and they're identical, but you hit one of those things, the other one will start to sing, even though you haven't hit it. If you twang a string on a guitar, the guitar in the corner of the room, that same string will start to vibrate. Well, that's true with all of us, is that the closer we are in frequency to anything, the more we vibrate with it. I mean, you remember Dolly, right? Yeah, I really vibe with that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I vibrate with. That's what the vibe is about. So as I'm working through it, I started to say, well, where do we get these quantum entanglements? Well, the first one is your DNA, your family. We all have this. In electronics, it's called a parameter. A signal parameter. And it's like tiny little sub-programming in a computer program. But it's what makes up a signal. A signal, electromagnetic signal from a device can be very, very complicated. And it can also pick up all sorts of other things. So these other things, when we're talking about a human being, come down to things like DNA, your family, all right? It comes into your location. There is energy in every location, and if you're in a location, you begin to get a sub program, a parameter, signal parameter of that location that you carry with you wherever you go after that. Your experiences, again, quantum entanglements with the event itself. We're all entangled in 9/11. You know, we're all entangled, those of us that were alive, with the John Kennedy assassination. These are links to us that everybody that, you know, was there that is carrying that little vibration in us. So when somebody brings it up, there's a whole bunch of people that start vibrating to that same energy. So you have all these little things that build your specific signature, your human, individual, unique signature. But there's a lot of other people that have the same similar signature to you, okay? So what it comes down to is that quantum entanglement, in my opinion, I finally get all through this, doing it in my head and everything, and I wrote something down to the tune of, I think that quantum entanglement is what ties the universe together. but sympathetic resonance is what keeps it moving and alive. What do you think of that?
I think, yeah. I think you're totally right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's why I never could understand that family I was born into. I never had vibes with them. Very interesting.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, you probably have the DNA signature, but the rest of it, your experiences with them, the conscious thoughts you had in trying to deal with them, you know, the quirks, all this stuff is contrary to who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and so you got discordancy, because as soon as you have if you understand sympathetic resonance, then the opposite, when you're not anywhere near this other person, it's a discordant energy. And you want to get away from them as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
Because all they're going to do is mess with your energy field.
Yeah.
You don't have to be nice to everybody.
Oh, amen. Amen, amen, amen.
You have to be respectful, but you don't have to be nice.
That's right. Amen, amen, amen. You don't have to be their doormat. Amen, amen, amen. And you don't have to listen to their craziness. Amen, amen, amen.
Gee, I hope Derek hears this.
Did you leave him in a bad way?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh,
no.
Good.
We kissed and made up. If I was still angry at him, I wouldn't be talking to you. No, he got down on his knees and begged forgiveness, and I just was very, okay, all right.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to you. Bless Derek's heart. The one I would feel sorry for here is Derek, not you. Hold your own. Poor Derek is probably thinking, oh my God, I just got hit by a buzzsaw.
Well, it was funny because he said to me, okay, he said the problem there was, unfortunately, you were right about everything you were saying and I couldn't defend myself.
Aww.
You know? And he said, I would have been as upset if I was in your shoes. I just didn't see it. And, you know, then he starts to, I won't say they were excuses. I would say they were explanations for why all this happened. But in the end, he admitted it was all his fault and he shouldn't have done it. And then I could, you know, talking to him, he made some fixes that I wanted done immediately. And it was really weird because he was in the editor and I wasn't. And so he's telling me that he couldn't do something. And I said, Derek, that doesn't make any sense. And I said, just let me look at it. And he wasn't seeing something. And when I got into it, it didn't take me long to make the fixes that I wanted. So it was no big deal. And I could have probably done it myself, but I just, like I say, I want this book done.
Yeah.
You know, and there's only so much time in a day, you know, right. And it just, I'm so close that, you know, when you got half the book to go, well, I'll get it done when I get it done. But when you're, you know, virtually hours away from it, then every hour you don't get it done is like,
oh, but you can, you know, you of all people can expand time, you know. I used to do this on a regular clock, but now with a digital clock, you just see it go back. So let's say it's noon, and you got a deadline at 2, but you've got like 4 more hours of work. In your mind, you can see the clock. You can ask the angels for help or whoever you choose to work with, the angels of time, Dave's of time, beings of time, whatever you're comfortable with, and visualize in your mind the clock going back. I like the hand clock with hands, and I see it going back. So you could have it go back to 10 o'clock, or if you need any more time, you know, 9:30. And then, and believe it or not, you'll get the time.
Well, that's how I got as much written as I did, because this one day, I kept looking at the clock and going, is it moving? I actually wondered if the clock was moving, if I needed to replace the battery. And I got, the day, that 24 hours was twice as long. Yeah, it was just, I was stunned the whole day, because it was like I kept writing, I kept feeling fine, I kept looking at the clock, it wasn't moving very fast. I mean, I live on the radio with time, I'm down to looking at seconds, you know, I know what they feel like.
Right, right.
And I was very aware throughout the whole day that they had expanded my time so that I could get all this. It was a
yeah.
huge amount of work that I did. And
I think you can do more of that if you need to.
Well, my suspicion is it's in timing. You know, for whatever reason, that these little things that are coming up, stopping me from getting the book done, means that there's something I need to know before I can finish it.
Oh, divine timing, yeah. Yeah, that's not on us. That's
No, it isn't. But we're already taking pre-orders on the book.
But that's okay. They'll get it when it's ready, when they're supposed to get it.
Well, you see, the other thing about the publishing thing is that when you finally get the book so it's ready to publish, then you order books from them. And, you know, that's how it works. You, just like you were ordering a book on Amazon, only it's your own, under your own cover. And to do this, I really need to know how many people right off the bat want the book. You know, because that first batch of books that you get, it does take some time to get to you. So I said, you know, the only way I'm going to have even a finger on that is to get some pre-ordering. So I have a better feeling for how many I should order right up off the bat. They're not cheap. I mean, when they sell you back your own book, you're going to pay.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But you should get it at cost, right?
Oh, yeah, like, right.
Yeah.
You know, what I think would be the cost is, you know, like, I don't know. It's not really overpriced for that, you know. I mean, I think, okay, my Cosmic Reality book, I think, cost me just under $6.
Right.
You know, is it worth six? I mean, was that what it cost to publish it? I suspect not. But you have all these overheads and everything else. Plus, Amazon's got to make some money. You know, the problem goes in when you're selling a book on Amazon, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's some place where you can look up as an author how many books you sold. I haven't found it, but I haven't looked for it because I never wrote anything I've written for the money. You know, that wasn't the purpose. I need to write. You know, it's my job. And so, it's like you know, they talk about very, very successful writers. I know successful writers are still, you know, can't make a living at it. It's not like it used to be. But anyway, so...
You agreed to write as well as talk.
I agreed to write, yes. Oh, you want me to play that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe Christia hasn't even heard this yet. Maybe.
Oh, it's so moving, Christia.
It's a song we found. Well, actually,
Nancy found it.
No, actually, Michael Henry Dunn told me about it. And I looked it up, which was odd, but it was really like one of those, I really want to know what that thing is. And it was very impressive. I can't seem to find it. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, well, it's a 5-minute song, so it's 2 minutes before the top of the hour. We can do it. It's a song, Christia, and it's I Said That I Would Sing. And it's by Kirtana, Kirtana. We'll just let you listen to it, okay? Okay.
Did we lose her?
I
first
don't think
heard
so.
About this place. This little lump of clay, on a message board in space, about a billion stars away. The ad read floating garden orb, circling the sun. Help us build a heaven here. We need one more volunteer. So I said that I would come. I was asked when I applied to name some service I could bring. I think service should be choice. So I said that I would sing. I got the job, and I don't mean to complain, but it's not like they described in that little classified that I read before I came. And I somehow missed a turn. Is this even the right place? Had I fallen for a scam, or was it more a fall from grace? Oh, it's beautiful, all right. How I love the desert sky and the quiet mountain lake. Enough to make me cry, but I did not come prepared for the density or strife, for the cruel and inhumane injustices and pain that can pass here for a life. So from very early on, I grew restless here because of this longing to go home, though I could not say where home was. And in answer to my prayer, or more truthfully, my scream, my beloved self appeared. Come to wake me from this dream. And with a diamond voice declared, home is not some distant star or some heavenly reward that your days are marching toward. But the truth of who you are. An awareness so immense, it holds all of this inside. As she spoke, my mind fell still, but my tears would not subside. And from the arms of grace, I knew that all suffering could cease. If we could rest in this embrace, if we just trusted in this peace, to even try to find the words can be a sacrifice. Religious thing. So I'd just as soon be silent. But I said that I would sing.
And welcome back to the Say What Show. It's November 23rd, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me, I've got Dolly Howard and Christia Cumming Slack. And pretty awesome song there. Hey, Christia.
Hey! It's beautiful. Really beautiful.
A lot of people really resonate with that song.
I do.
That was a fun first hour. We always
hey,
have fun.
How are your alien cats doing?
Oh, wow. I'll tell you. I've decided that the boy cat might not really be an E.T. I'm not sure. But he's definitely more friendly than the other two.
Well, I find boy cats, since we have a boy cat, we used to always have girl cats. But since we've gotten the boy cat, I'm amazed at how much more loving he is than the girl cats.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But he lets me kind of pick him up. Mama and I are getting along great. But those other two, I don't care what I do. You know, all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, yeah, you can touch me, you know. And then the next day I look at them and they run out of the room. Okay? But what's been kind of like... spooky. All right, you know the story about the possum was in there. There was a baby. There was a baby possum that got back into somehow he was getting into the cat room and eating the cat food. Okay, and I couldn't quite. Well, I missed catching him. Let me put it to you that way. And so I'm trying to figure out. I looked. I can't figure out how he's coming in. And it's all like I don't know how this. Well, anyway, so I waited out. And there's no indication that the possum is there. I mean, there's no possum smell. There's no... Well, the problem is that I'll be... And it happens quite often. I'll be on my way to the bathroom. And the door to the... Right outside the bathroom is the door to their room. And it is one of those slat things, you know, like an inside door, a slat door. So I'll hear somebody messing with the cat bowl, you know, clang, 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 because there's a stone floor, clang, clang, you know, and I open up that door just as fast as I can, and nobody's there. And I see four cats sleeping on the couch, the bed there, and somebody made this noise. Now, either that is the fastest possum in the world, or I got some spirit back there that for some reason likes cat food.
Huh.
I mean, it's like, and all four of them look at me like, yes, you got a problem? I go, if there's not any time for them to jump up and look like they're sleeping, you know? I mean, I'm right outside the door when it happens. So I don't know. I mean, and I got this other cat, this little cat that came in, and she looks like she's older than the ones in the back. And she's a cat, feels like a cat. But today I'm hearing a cat noise. Wow. And I went, uh-oh. So I look out the window, and she's sitting right there on the porch, on the railing. And I'm going, is that her? And she was looking sort of at somebody. And so then I'm like cranking my head trying to get around to see. And I see this black tail and I go, uh-oh. And so I go out there and I see him running away. And his name is Dude and he's the father of the four or the three in the back.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going like she, because I don't know if she's fixed or not. But maybe not. Because she wasn't running from him. So, right after Thanksgiving, I'm going to have to figure out how to capture that cat and get her over to the vet. Otherwise, I'm going to have to, you know... I can just see me trying to put another cat in with those guys, you know? It's like...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I don't know why this is happening to me. I thought I was over the cats.
Nancy's getting more cats.
No, don't be telling her that. I've gone from the crazy Shung.
See, I told you she's a crazy cat lady.
You see, she has no respect for me. She's...
Nancy says you have no respect for her. Just because you're the crazy cat lady.
Okay, so anyway, Christia, would you like to talk about something that you might be doing or something that you know want to impart here? Because Dolly wants to talk trash.
I do.
And she said, can we talk about this? And I said, well, Christia's on. She said, oh, she might not want to talk about that. I said, Dolly, I think she'd be game. We can ask her.
Yeah. The only thing I was going to talk about, or I wanted to get your perspective, because you both actually have some of my art that I use the Shungite water to create. And I've been making all these new paintings. And since you were talking about quantum resonance and the quantum field, I was wondering your perspective when you have a painting like that and it comes into your energy field, you can think about this. We don't have to answer this question, or you can, you know, but do you think when I paint with the, you know, with the prayers and the energy and the Shungite water and make the pigment with the powder, do you think that then comes out into their environment, that energy?
Absolutely. And in fact, if you didn't use the Shungite powder, even, you've got so much Shungite around you, you've integrated Shungite as one of your parameters. So when you're putting your energy and your love and all that, you're also putting Shungite into it, even if you didn't use the Shungite paint. But by using the Shungite paint, you're really invoking the energy of the Shungite that we are attempting to get. Well, it's already worldwide. You know, we have a Shungite weave, a Shungite world grid, and people just go about randomly putting nuggets and powder of Shungite all over the place. From government buildings to, you know, a tree in the deep woods. So it's because I'm sure you know this, that you have the weave of the trees, and in the trees you have the weave of the pine and the weave of the oak and all that, okay? Well, there is a Shungite weave. So every single particle of Shungite that's out there is attached from the quantum entanglement with every other one.
Okay.
So when you're actually putting that Shungite, embedding it into the image in 3D. Yes. Okay. And also what is missed sometimes is that we have the Shungite, the raw Shungite, we've got raw powder, we've got it all in its natural state. But then we take it and we put it in resin and we make totems. You know, we've got a lot of totems. So we put it in the rubber and we've got the rubber. All of these different mixes that we have of Shungite are just another way of getting it out there. And you don't have to believe in Shungite. You don't even have to know what some of these devices are. All you have to do is be in a Shungite environment. And the more Shungite that is out there, the more the environment gets more, for lack of another word. And when you embed them in those pictures, I'm looking at one. It's right in front of me. It's always in front of me. The Shungite spirit one you did. And if I'm looking at it energetically, I can see that where you really used the Shungite was in drawing the piece of Shungite in the middle of the picture.
Yes.
And what's that is caused is a quantum vortex. All right, there's actually a vortex there. I can physically see it, or etherically see it. So it's like a gateway. I mean, this goes beyond Shungite. You know, it's so much with intention and thought and love and energies. Mm-hmm. But Shungite facilitates and essentially accelerates everything around it, including thoughts. Not bad thoughts,
yes.
Though. It won't work with negative.
Specifically,
Yeah, and I specifically made that for you with the intention of gratitude to you. And then I used, because it's watercolor, I used shungite water, like, you know, shungite in the water to for the watercolor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, but like I say, anything that you do is going to be imbued with amazing energies.
Thank you for that. I just kind of wanted to understand that. So you want to talk trash? You want to talk swampland people? Is that what you want to talk about?
Well, ask Dolly.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what caused me to find this, but I ran across the video of when Hillary was going to get in the van, and all of a sudden she turned stiff and her head went back a little and she was staring straight ahead like she wasn't in her body, and they had a few people push her into the van and she even lost her shoe.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about the Curse of Oak Island in the swamp. You're talking about really swampy people.
Yes.
Really swampy people. That was she was at in New York, and it was a 9/11 commemoration event. And the people catching her were her bodyguards. But what always got to me was how her knees buckled. You know, she was virtually falling down, and they grabbed her. So what did this article say? How did you just saw the video again?
I saw the video, but the guy was saying he's one of her guards.
Oh, okay, good, yeah.
And he said that. Let me open this sucker, so I can tell you what was it. Former Secret Service agent, why video of Clinton scares me. And then he said that one of the bodyguards walked in between Hillary and the van, and they never do that in case the person they're protecting wants to dart in the van. This guy just nonchalantly walks right between her, and he turns around rather, here she goes again, that kind of an attitude, and grabbed hold of her, and they shove her into the van. But I did not see her knees knuckle. No, what you said.
Buckle,
yes. I didn't see that. I saw her stiff. And that made me think, because we've been talking about clones lately, that made me think, were we just witnessing her clone malfunctioning? And that's why they were trying to get her away, because they didn't even take her to the hospital.
Well, what did this guy say scared him about it, other than the fact that the one guy was not doing what he should have done?
Oh, he just pointed that out. I can't remember what scared him about it. I just went off into my own thoughts, seeing the video again. The title is what caught my attention. The video is what caught my thoughts. Seeing how she was acting like a malfunctioning machine.
See, on the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, we have Ben Fulford, read by Walt Silva. And Ben said that all these people that you think are your leaders are actually all clones, because the leaders are all in jail, essentially, right? Wasn't that what it was, that,
Dolly? I think that's what.
Yeah, essentially that.
And I didn't agree.
And Dolly didn't agree, because she had just seen Pelosi, and he named Pelosi, Pelosi on a television thingy, talking, and she didn't believe it. And then it was almost like that he heard her say it, you know, because the next week he comes back and he says, well, you might be seeing them on television, but, you know, a lot of them, I was laughing about, a lot of them are doctored. The videos are doctored. So then this week, Dolly finds out, Dolly, tell us about the story about the two congressmen talking about Nadler.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was Levin. Is it Mark Levin? He's a guy on TV and he's on radio and he writes books and stuff. A lot of people will know who Mark Levin is. He was interviewing Nunez, Representative Nunez. And they got to talking about, I think it was Levin asked Nunez, well, when's the last time you have seen Jerry Nadler? And Nunez says, well, it's been about 3 weeks. Pelosi had gotten upset with him, and they had had a talk in her office, and he hasn't seen Nadler since. And I got to thinking, and he hasn't even been on TV. Nadler is gone, disappeared. I don't know what happened to Nadler. He might have been taken and he's singing somewhere. I don't know. I have no clue what happened to Nadler. There's not even something that could be a clone of him. He's gone.
Nadler's the guy that was overseeing the Russian probe that the Russians and it colluded with the president.
The Mueller thing. And then Pelosi, I got to thinking, she was looking like crap for a while. And then very recently, I saw her on TV again. And it's when she had the bug eye slug bug Schiff with her, and she was saying she was putting Schiff in charge of the impeachment stuff. But she looked like she had gotten a complete skin job. She was looking so much better. I thought to myself, that can't be really her. But then I thought, oh, maybe she had the face
lift
thing where they pull your skin back.
Lift, facelift.
Facelift, yeah. But it was more than that. I mean, she looked like a healthier version of her old self. Like she had been completely, her body was rejuvenized. And then Walt read the clone stuff, and I'm thinking, what the heck? Maybe they did clone her. So all of a sudden, my mind's going, is this cloning stuff for real? But I did all along, I have believed, they cloned, or they at least have a double, one or two or three, I don't know, for Trump. Because there's the real Trump, and then there's the one I call the red-haired Trump. There's the white-haired Trump, and there's the red-haired Trump. And they both appear, like on the same day, I'll see both of them. But then they had this rally. No, it wasn't a rally. It was some other kind of an event where they had bulletproof shields up around the podium where Trump and his wife would stand, and it was the white-haired Trump. And I thought, oh my gosh, there's the real Trump, because it's my opinion that the red-haired Trump is the one that goes out on the rallies and on the big speeches, because if he got shot and killed, then they can just say, oh, well, he was just wounded, and they can replace it with another double or a clone or whatever they do. And so it makes me think more, geez, you know, we see these sci-fi shows, and they always say, if you see it on a sci-fi show, it's been in reality for many, many, many years. So I'm starting to think, well, maybe there's a heck of a lot of more clones running around than we think. And remember, there was that clone of the sheep Dolly, but it didn't live very long. It was over in England, and it didn't live very long. So I'm thinking they have perfected on their clone ship stuff, and it ties in with MK Ultra. All these different pieces are coming together in my mind. So when I saw this video and I saw Killary was stiff as a board and acting like a malfunctioning machine, it made me think, wow, was that a clone malfunction that we just saw? Because I can't think of any disease that makes someone react the way she reacted in that video. A person react that way. So I just wanted to share that.
What do you think about it? You think cloning is possible, Christia?
I think ET people can totally do it. I love a good conspiracy theorist. I love a good conspiracy theory. So I'm not, like, it doesn't sound crazy to me. I'm just not all into the political dramas, you know, because I think it's all, you know, I think both sides are cray cray. If you felt like that when you watched that and you had those thoughts, I'm going to say trust it, because, you know, there's a reason that you're receiving this information. There's a reason that, you know, Walt's talking about it and it's out there. So I believe that there's a deep state. I believe that, you know, the secret government has been doing crazy crap to humans for a long, long time with the bad ETs. And I wouldn't put it past the extreme elite people to have doubles so that they don't even have to be bothered with, you know, because being on a campaign trail and living out of hotels and living on the road, that's rough. So if you don't have to do it and you can get some double, why not?
Well, you know, when Obama got into the White House, there was this rumor, who can possibly figure out where it came from? But it was this rumor that when he went into the Oval Office to meet with Bush Jr., that something happened, because when he walked out of that office, he was extremely upset. And I got this from a number of different places, but like I say, I just sort of like, interesting, but, you know, didn't really mean anything. I just filed it away. But then I'm talking to somebody, and they said that what happened was that, because I was kind of like, what could they have possibly told him that would have seemingly distressed him as much as they were saying that he was distressed? Well, according to another person who seems to have legitimate information, and it's not being, I'm the one that's talking about it in the internet, this was a one-to-one kind of thing. It appears that when Obama went into the Oval Office to meet Junior, Daddy Bush was there. And he basically said, look, you're going to do what we want you to do, or this is what's going to happen. And he opened up a closet in the Oval Office, and there was a clone of Obama and his wife. All ready to go. You screw up, boy. We're just going to activate these. So, you know.
Can I just say how creepy that is?
I know. I know.
Can I just say the humanity in me, the human in me just says, oh, that's just freaking creepy.
I know. But that's where we're at today. Is it's all very crazy. I mean, I've bought this concept of clones.
I'm like, that's just creepy, eepy. And I have a, you know, it took me a long time to open up to ETs, to aliens. But I'll tell you, the alien that really creeps me out is the AI stuff. And clones to me are similar to the AI thing. And so it's creepy. It's a creepy thing. Like, you know, like Dolly and her snakes. She's totally freaked out about snakes.
Oh, and to bring
so clones. Well, what I was doing is using that as an example. Like clones and AI, that makes me go, ooh, because it's like, oh, that shit is creepy. It's really, really creepy.
Okay,
really creepy.
You're an X-File fan, but you also into Star Trek?
Oh yeah, I'm a.
Okay, did you watch the Borg?
Oh yeah, those they really creep me out.
I couldn't watch them. I could not watch it. I had such a oh my god, it just freaked me out. I couldn't watch the whole time that they had the Borg on.
Yeah.
Generations. I could not watch it.
Now my husband, because we've had this conversation, because me and my husband we talk about aliens all the time. So he says that the Borg aren't really AIs, they're the Hive. It's a hive mind. And then they've taken a human and then they put the machine part to make him more hive of a hive mind. But to me, that just creeped me out. And then they tried to make it all sexy with Seven of Nine, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we'll make her real pretty, but yet she's still creepy because she's a Borg. Like, it's a Borg. Remember when they find that, there's an episode where they find the Borg ship, and then they go on the ship and there's like nothing, you know, like they're walking around. That one was the creepiest. I was like, ooh, something's going to come out, you know, because, but it's a, you know, you will be assimilated. You know, that
kind of resistance is futile.
Yeah, you will be assimilated.
Well, yeah, you know, this question of the hive mind, and at the end, again, I'm going back to the book, but at the end of the book, I'm talking about the bees and sixth extinction event, and you know, that in reality, human beings have to begin to pay attention to the hive, and the hive is the planet Gaia. You know, if we don't protect the hive, as in the case of a bee, it all goes, you know, nobody survives. And so I was discussing the hive, and where I think we should do is to think in terms of protecting this beautiful planet of ours, and everything else will be okay. But I said, and now you're countering to me that I'm talking about the hive mind. I said, you are in a hive mind. You know, that's what freaks me out, is that people don't realize how much control is actually being conducted on them.
And they say if you see it, it's already been done.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
See, pieces are coming together.
Mm-hmm. It was the Friday that we were in, so the 8th, so not this past Friday, but the Friday before, we were in Florida, and I was watching Ancient Aliens with my dad, and it was about how tattoos, they can put, like, nanotechnology in tattoos, and then you could go to a door with a biometric thing, and just open up the door with your tattoo. There was a tattoo artist that he had put magnets or some kind of thing in his hands. So his whole house, like his safe, his door, how he opened everything was just a wave of his hand, because it was all digitally coded in his tattoo. And then they were showing how they could take gold and you could put, you know, and you could put anything in your skin. You could put your, you know, like a, almost like a computer board, but it's tiny, tiny, tiny. You know, I'm not talking like, I'm talking as little as your pinky nail, you know, tiny, 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 and even tinier, these little tiny computer micron chips. And then, you know, but I'm thinking, oh, that's so close to Borg, and that's so close to, you know, AI.
The mark of the beast.
I'm like, you're not putting that on me. No way, Jose. And there was like, and there was, you know, the one of the guys had his head completely tattooed, and it had, it was all digital information that was somehow put in the ink, that put in the tattoo. I mean, it was like, what the? It was just wild. And so, you know, if they're already showing it on Ancient Aliens, I guess what I was trying to make the point is if they're already feeding us in media and putting it out there, then they've been doing it for who knows? Who knows? The secret deep state. Who knows? I'll put anything past those people.
Same here.
Yeah, on both sides, you know, all of it.
Well, you know, when you look at, again, standing back and just looking at the scenario, all of these sci-fi stories that we've grown up with are like children's riddles compared to what is really happening around us. What you're talking about tattoos is nanotechnology, that they can take and make electronic gizmos out of something that's virtually microscopic. And they don't need to have you paint yourself with, you know, whatever. They can put it in the air and you'll breathe it in.
Right. And that's why I'm big on not getting the vaccines, especially. Have you seen the new flu vaccine for older people?
So 4 times as strong.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, and then what else is in there, too? What nanotechnology, they stick it in there? I'm like, oh, no.
See, the reason that they're, I'm going to talk total conspiracy, is just entertainment purposes only. You know, I saw that commercial, and I was like, oh, we're not dying fast enough.
Thought was the same thing, Nancy.
Okay, now why would it be so important to kill off the old people? And they're not necessarily old, anybody over the age of 60.
Right, which isn't old. Yeah, I get it.
Okay,
that.
Why is it so important? 4 times this is like a suicide shot. Okay, so why would you do that? Well, who's the people that remember what it was like before AI? Biological AI.
Right.
Me. Dolly. Right.
What? I'm sorry.
You weren't listening to me, were you, Dolly?
Oh my gosh. Jan posted this video of a glitch in Nancy Pelosi's eye, and oh my gosh, you got to look at that. And I'm trying to figure out how can I copy it. It's in the chat room. You need to go in the chat room and look at this. It's only like 10 seconds or something. It's 16 seconds.
Oh my god.
Holy shit. I'm not kidding. You got to look at this. And I don't know how to copy it. I can't.
And third, he has violated his oath of office.
Look at her eye. Can you get in
Dolly, I just looked at it, and, you know, there is video editing that just, I mean, I cannot believe that that's real. Oh. I believe almost everything, but I'm sorry. That's just a little bit too bizarre. That's quite a glitch, Nancy Pelosi. But you know, Dolly, if you do a search for reptilian eyes, I don't know if Google or YouTube will even do it, you will not believe how many times that different people had this weird thing with their eyes.
Oh, I saw it in Obama.
People, Rothschilds, the royals. Obama. You know, Rothschilds, the royals.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you could say any person in that's, you know, in the higher ups in political things probably are all. You remember that show in the 80s that was called V? And
oh, yeah.
The Live? They Live?
Creep Me Out.
What was the name of it?
It was called V.
Like, and it was the reptilians and with human skin. And then they tried to bring it back like a few years ago, like make a modern version of it. But it didn't fly. I think it's too close to the truth, and that's what creeps people out.
It was V, like in visitors.
As in victory of the reptilians. That's what it was about. V.
Well, I remember the original V. It was very spooky.
Yep,
it was
that's what I watched.
I remember being, oh God, it was like in the 80s. It was like the early 80s. And it was on, they only did like maybe one season of it, but I remember watching it and I couldn't, it was scared me to death, but I couldn't turn away from it.
Well, you know, the thing with the eyes, the one video that I it was more than the eye, the one video that I had to believe was real was a video of a local television show going on.
I've seen that one.
Yeah. And they've got the two anchors, you know, talking to one another. Well, let's bring up who so-and-so in the street. And so-and-so in the street is on camera and turns in, you see, it's like it lost its cloaking and you could see a reptilian.
Uh-huh.
Right?
The and so-and-so in the street?
The reporter reporting from the street. What do they call it?
Turned into it.
Yeah,
yes, on camera. You could see that it was like a cloaking thing fell down, and you saw this reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. But what was so impressive about it was the anchor. Because the anchor goes, oh, my God, did you just see that? Right? And the other one is looking at her like, no, I didn't see that. And I'm going, oh, my God, she's the only real person in the studio.
Holy cow.
That one made me a believer.
Right.
Because this woman was really upset, huh?
Did they fire her?
Well, you don't know because you just see the shot of her just, like, freaking out, and then they went to commercial or something.
Yeah. I've seen that one before because it's creepy. It's real creepy.
So this one that Jan put in the thing, it's one of those made-up ones?
Well, I don't know, but I sure hope so.
Actually, I hope so, too, but my gosh.
Well, I always say discernment, discernment, discernment. You know, trust your gut. If you feel it in your gut, then there's some truth to it. If you get the goosebumps and it tweaks you hard, like in your gut, there's some truth to it. Just trust it. Wow. Just trust your gut because there's so many, you know, so much crazy out there. You just got to trust your own inner pendulum, your own inner gut and your heart. And, you know, discernment, discernment, folks. You know, triple check your facts, triple check your stuff. Discernment, discernment, discernment.
You know, let's talk Oak Island.
Yeah, let's.
Because
I
fell asleep on the first one. I guess it was like 2 hours long, and I was like, are they just going to show me something? I ended up falling asleep drooling. And then I did stay awake this week? I think I did stay awake.
Well, to me, it's the greatest story. I mean, the irony of this story happening while everything else around us is happening is just... I mean, if I was a fiction writer, I would think, oh, nobody will believe this. Because...
Oh, I get you.
You know, because okay, let's just go back and look at it, you know, stand back and look at it. You got this guy, Rick, that reads a Reader's Digest story on Oak Island as a kid, and he becomes obsessed with it to the point that his very rich brother says, you know, I love you so much, if this is going to make your life worthwhile, I will go dig the damn hole. So they go, and in Marty's mind, he's going to dig a hole, and he's going to find or not find. But we've been at this for going, what is it, eight years now. And what happens is that Marty gets to a point where he says, I don't have any more money, I'm going to stop this thing, and they find something. You know, it's the cross.
Yeah.
You know, a piece of something that goes back to the time of the Knight Templars. You know, I mean, it's like these little teeny weeny clues that, you know, you just have to keep pursuing because, you know, why did they have to find that? I could have quit, you know? So now you've got Marty, you know, because he knows what they did in the, you know, this last year in the summer. And he's saying, wow, it's all true. Now, so what do we mean by, wow, it's all true? That's what we have to ask, you know, what is it? Well, if you're talking about what they have been discovering, you're talking about a Knight Templar connection. And that it was a massive dig. It wasn't just something simple. This is so massive, and as they're in the swamp, now they're beginning to perceive that we're into something much bigger than we even considered. Because now it's been proven that the swamp is artificial. That was actually two islands. Because they found, they brought in a swamp expert. And the swamp expert gets down and they drilled a hole and they had a bunch of the samples of the soil. And he got down very, very, not very far into it. And he went, whoa. He said, this shouldn't be here. And they asked him, well, what? And he said, well, what I'm seeing now, you only see in a marine environment. And they're going, like, ocean? And he said, yes. He said, this swamp was originally ocean. It's been dammed up to make a swamp. So, okay, so the reason they're getting into this is that they had done one of those surveys and saw something that looked like a ship in the swamp. So now that they get out there and now they're looking at, you know, trying to find this. Is it real? And while they're out there, they're finding a road or some kind of a building thing made of bricks, you know, and then they finally realize this looks like it could be a wharf. That they were coming in by ocean with boats, ships, you know, and then offloading them onto this wharf. And so at that time, I'm thinking, well, this thing, the ship that's in the swamp must have been, you know, easier to just sink it there for whatever reason, it was broken or whatever, you know, than to try to get it out to the ocean and sink it out there. Just sink it here. We're going to bury it anyway, because they buried the swamp. They blocked it up, and then they actually buried. That's what they're finding, is they're finding somebody dumped a bunch of stuff on top of it to cover up what was there. Well, now, this last week, this is the one that just was like, how many times have I seen pictures of the swamp over 8 years? And I never saw the eye at the tip of the pyramid?
Where
did that come? When did that come in?
Well, they went back and looked at pictures over the years, and it's always been there. Nobody tweaked on it. And if you look at it, it's a perfect eye. But that was the swamp guy. The swamp guy's looking at pictures and he's looking at the testing of what's really in the swamp. And he said to them, look at this right here. And he's, you know, circled it. He says, there is something man-made there. He said, because this is not natural in a swamp. And he said, I've gone back over photographs. I think they even showed some. And it showed that it had been there for years and years. So some structure was causing this perfect eye to exist. But the reason none of us really saw it was because in a Freemason concept, you've got the pyramid, and at the top of the pyramid, you got the all-seeing eye. Look at your dollar bill. Okay? That's what you're looking at. But in this case, the eye in the swamp has been, it's up and down instead of, it's up and down like a vertical instead of a horizon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But by God, there is an eye in the pyramid of the swamp. And it's man-made. So they go out, they get on this little boat, and they go on out there. And our friend, the what's his name, Dolly? I can never remember this guy's name. The one that has
the English guy.
Metal detector, Irish guy, metal detector.
Bobby Dazzler.
That guy.
Oh, that's the Bobby Dazzler.
Yep, that guy. He gets off the boat, and he's got the metal detector, and he's finding metal down there. I mean, you know, like, what?
Right, right.
And it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And, I mean, to me, this story, I mean, anybody that's missing the Oak Island story, yes, it's tedious because they find this one little thing or the one little thing, you know. Oh, somebody, Somsquatch, has just put up the creepiest one I've ever seen. Another glitchy thing. But, yeah, it's just the irony of this story, you know, and what they're, it's going to rewrite history. It's already rewriting history. It's amazing. It's an amazing story, and a story that, you know, quite honestly, a fiction writer would be laughed off the scene. So I mean, the more you look at reality, the crazier it gets. It's just like one comedy after another. Oh gosh. So I did do a remote of that ship. I thought it was a ship.
Well, you said that, yeah.
Yeah, I did do a remote, but it was like, okay, so they say it's a ship, and it was the anchor of the swamp and this thing. And I told you, it must have been on its side because that's what it was like. It could have been a tunnel. It didn't necessarily.
Well, that's what I thought they were saying, that it's not a ship.
Well, now they know that. But last year when they saw it, you know, they showed the pictures and it forced me into a spontaneous remote. And I found myself in a, I thought I was be in the hull of this ship because I felt like it was on its side, but it was empty. There was nothing really inside of it. But it was all wood, you know, and when they started saying this could be a tunnel, I'm going like, well, yeah, now that I think about it, I thought it was a ship, so I'm trying to see it as a ship, but it could have been a tunnel. Not that I'm trying to say, oh, well, I made a mistake. No, it's just, you know, you have to, that's why remote viewing, you have to, you know, be careful of what you think you're seeing. But I found that, you know, so they got a tunnel that's now in the swamp. Where does that go? It's
to one of the down tunnels.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And also I've noticed in the boys, all of them, when they do the after, you know, it's already happened and they're interviewing them, I have this feeling from them of contentment. Almost, you know, there's no questioning. It's like, it is what it is. It was what it is. It's always been a story that's real. And they know it. I mean, whatever happens at the end of this year, we're all going to know it, in my opinion. But just because of the way that these guys are just so relaxed. You know?
Especially Marty. Yes.
Speaking of Marty, Marty's son, he's got gray temples now, and he's all filled out. Like, what
I saw that.
It's like he's 20 years older all of a sudden. I said to Rick, what the hell happened? Like, he's like built, like, you know, he's all filled out. He's got gray on his temples like his dad. I'm like, I thought he was like a teenager.
Okay, now this is a question that I have. In the last episode, they're in a car going someplace, and it was Marty's son. I'm forgetting who was driving. and there was a young man in the back seat.
That's his brother.
That's his cousin.
Oh, they look so similar. They're
Yes, they definitely do.
To get the iron things checked out from the other science lady at the Mary's College.
Or, right.
Wasn't it the guy who gives the tours and like the Masonic guy with the...
Yeah, I can't think. We've been watching this for eight years. You think we know the people's names?
Black.
Oh, I don't know. I for some reason I've had trouble with these people's names from the get go. I'm lucky I remember Marty and Rick now.
But how old is his son? All of a sudden, it was like he's got gray on his temples, just like his dad. And I'm thinking, he's like at least 10 years older than the last time I saw him, and it hadn't been that long. I mean, his body is even physically different.
He looks like an adult.
Yeah, it was like overnight. It was like, oh my God.
He aged overnight.
Totally. Even his face looks different.
Yes.
Well, remember, there is the story that the Ark of the Covenant is down there, and the Ark of the Covenant is a radiation device.
Right, manna from heaven, right. It has nuclear energy.
Could be radiation.
Mm.
I've actually thought about that a number of times when they would get into that discussion. Do you people have any? Because when I did a sneak remote of the area where they thought they had gotten hit the chest and pushed it down farther. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I remember that.
So I said, well, I'm just going to go down there and see what it is. So I basically went to Oak Island, where the dig is, and just etherically went down the pipe, just followed the pipe down. And I got to this place where the pipe ended, but there was only rock, but I could feel there was a room or a void on the other side of the rock. And I'm like, I don't know what's inside there, but I am not going in there. And so I backed out. Well, 2 weeks later, there's somebody remote viewed from the Farside Institute, Oak Island, and he did exactly the same thing I did and had exactly the same reaction. So I got down there, and I know there's something there, but I wasn't going to go any further. So whatever they're looking for could be more healing. But I also think this is divinely inspired by, you know, that USI thing. Because
USI thing, what's that?
The Universe of Spiritual Intervention.
Oh, have I ever heard of it before?
I told you in hour one.
Oh dear Lord! I told you I'm losing my mind.
No, you're not paying attention. You're like, you know, oh okay, you know, and you hear it, but you're not focusing on it. And I know this because Walt does this to me all the time. I said to him one day, I said, Walt, I said, your ability to recall things from books and names of people and everything, I said, it's very impressive, but it seems like you don't remember things I tell you. And he says, well, I only remember the things that are important.
Oh, Lord, that you choose to think is
You know, I went, oh, I got it, man. Okay,
oh,
I got
man.
It.
What's that? It's that you choose to deem it important. Not that it ain't important. It's just you don't think it's important.
Right. So my babbling is not important to him. So when I want him to know something, I put it in writing, and then I put that writing on Facebook in his messages, on Skype in his messages, in an email to his message. And hopefully... just because I'm so persistent, he might pay attention to it.
I do that all the time, though. I found lately I can't remember shit. And it frustrates me because Annette will say something. Well, yeah, we talked about that, and. But I can't remember it. I can't remember it. And at all. It's gone.
Because it's not important to you?
No, but it is. Because when she brings it up again, it's very important. And I'm having difficulty.
Ask your angels to remember what you don't want to remember and to recall it when you need it. Hey, we're at the top of the hour. We've got to sign off because I've got another radio station that is less under my control. It's more automatic. And so, Christia, please give your website.
It's Christia, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A, Cumming, C-U-M-M-I-N-G-S.com. And, come find me.
Dolly, you want to say goodnight?
Yeah, thanks, everybody. I hope we didn't bore the heck out of you, but it was exciting to me. So, thank you, and love you guys, and bye-bye.
Bye.
And I had a wonderful time, so thank you. Thank you both. Be safe, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda, it's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.